This may come as a surprise to some people. Five people were charged with second-degree murder in this case. Was that a surprise for you?
Well, it actually was. I mean, when you hear about a death that occurs from an accident, usually, of course, you think about tort damages, private right of action, or involuntary manslaughter. But murder is not always intentional killing. There is another form of murder, murder two, where, quote unquote, malice aforethought is not really malice aforethought, but instead it is acting with such extreme indifference to human life that it's a subtle distinction between the lack of care that might be involuntary manslaughter and such extreme indifference that it becomes murder. And that would seemingly be the theory here, because there must have been an awful lot of what we know, a million pounds of explosives, and probably maintained, or at least in the indictment, there'll be allegations that it was improperly maintained.
Yeah, the DA didn't necessarily have to take this to trial in front of a judge. They could have presented this case to a criminal grand jury. What is behind this approach?
Well, very often the use of a grand jury in California is that an extensive investigation might tip off people's hand if grand jury secrecy is a way to avoid publicizing what's going on. And in the federal system, to bring a criminal charge, you need a grand jury. That's in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. But states are not obligated to do that. And so it's done fairly rarely. And this would be the kind of case, such a big case, where you bring so many witnesses forward. And the information doesn't come out until much later.
As Greg and Sarit laid out in that indictment, prosecutors are alleging that behind this deadly blast is a decade-long criminal conspiracy, an illegal enterprise with ties to the black market. How do they go about proving that in court? And how might the defense argue otherwise?
Well, there are so many ways in which you can prove it. One of the more interesting things will be who they're going to get to testify. And very often what you do is I don't know whether they're going to do it in this case, because there's a lot of strategy that doesn't become a matter of public knowledge until the case is developed in court. But very often what you do is you get people who may have had a marginal role in the case, and they start to provide information because you have some leverage. You might suggest that maybe we won't bring criminal charges against you, or maybe there's some simple fact witnesses who are perfectly willing to come forward. Very hard to know in the abstract how they'll prove it, but it's a massive conspiracy, a lot of people involved, and there's so many interesting strategic choices, Vicky. For example, are you going to bring this all as one huge case in a single courtroom, which then adds lots of problems for managing the case? Are you going to separate the charges, maybe start with low-level offenders, and then climb the ladder? There's no single game plan for complex cases like this.
Given that this is such a high-profile case in a relatively small county with large rural areas like Esparto, do you think there's a possibility the case or the trial can get moved because of this attention?
It could. There's a fairly heavy burden on the party, the defendants, if they want to move the case, that they have to really show that the publicity is so extensive that they can't really impanel a fair jury. And look, there are some crimes where everybody's heard of it. And so what they have to do when they're trying to seat a jury would be to talk to individual jurors about whether they would be biased because of the publicity. Mm. Just imagine a case like the OJ case where everybody heard about it. And so to impanel a jury, if merely having heard about the case was enough to disqualify the jury or to move the case, you'd never have a trial. Is this a winning argument? I don't know whether they'll show enough information to move the case.
Do you think they may charge other people in the future?
Well, I would ask your the two reporters who had developed the case, you suspect that there are other people involved, and just how broad do you want to make your charges? How many marginal players you want to bring in is always a strategic part choice. One reason to bring in additional people who may have had a role, again, is to give them some quid pro quo in making sure they become cooperating witnesses. But those are things that are just not going to be out in the public for a long time.
What is the likelihood that you think this actually heads to trial in some capacity? Do you think like a plea deal will be on the table for some of the people charged or all of them?
Clearly for some. Clearly for some. I mean, we have way over 90% of all criminal cases are resolved by guilty pleas. And again, it really depend on so many factors. Very often, if you are one of the most at-risk defendants who is not likely to be given a decent plea deal, and you have the resources to hire really high-powered attorneys, your incentive to go to trial goes way up. It's so hard to tell at this point. You can't just rely on the statistics that so many people plead guilty. But I would think that there might even be some interest on the part of the DA's office to bring this case, at least against some of the defendants, because it reassures the public to some degree that police and prosecutors and other investigators are really doing their job, that something as horrible as this has taken place. And public trials have a certain virtue.
The district attorney in an interview at the Sacramento Bee, he said that he contacted both the State Department of Justice. He also contacted federal officials asking them to conduct an investigation into Esparto, but they declined. Does that strike you as odd, given just like the level of this disaster and how many agencies and different levels of government are involved with like fireworks and pyrotechnics?
Well, I mean, it's really it's an unusual case. I mean, it's so hard to generalize. I think probably the federal government, for a number of reasons, would not be all that interested in getting involved because state resources are there. And the federal government, as you may have noticed, I'm sure you have noticed, has some other law enforcement priorities these days. And something that can be contained to one area of California is just doesn't raise the same national interest. Very often, both federal and state prosecutors can move forward on a case, but there is a good bit of incentive not for both of them to be involved. I think, having heard some of the news reporting, I think Jeff Reisig was concerned maybe about the overwhelming amount of work that had to be done by a relatively small office. I mean, Yolo County is not the largest district attorney's office in the world by any means. So, and watching the various participants from the DA's office and investigators, they're working hard. They are so they're, you know, it's I no wonder he wanted to look for some additional help.
Right. I mean, he called this investigation massive. It's like the largest in his 20-year career.
No doubt.
Mike Vitello is a law professor at McGeorge School of Law. As always, thank you for joining us, Professor Vitello.
You are more than welcome, Vicki.